Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there on a rough Monday in Berea. The Browns drop 33-13 to the New England Patriots, falling to 0-5 on this season. And it was a rough game. Obviously, more injuries at quarterback. Cody Kessler knocked out of that one. Right now, no official report from the Browns about Cody Kessler, although Ian Rappaport is reporting that Cody Kessler is going to be okay and expected to be under center against the Tennessee Titans this week. That's what Ian Rappaport's reporting, but no official word from the Browns. I expect we'll get an update, though, at 2:30 with Hugh Jackson's press conference today.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be day-to-day.
But then again, aren't we all just day-to-day, especially in this environment? And I'll tell you what, you know, going into the game, we had hoped the Browns would be able to keep it close in the fourth so they could get a break. They were not expected to win that game. I didn't expect them to win that game. I wanted them to, but I didn't. But it was, I don't know what the right word is, not a treat, but it was just kind of awesome to watch the Patriots in action and to watch the way that they're coached and the way that they perform and the way that, you know, Tom Brady in his game back, no rust, touchdown, 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 first three drives. The fourth only didn't have a touchdown because they were stopped at the goal line. Then they miss a field goal. But for the most part, I mean, offensively, he looked so good in the pocket, so calm.
And accurate. I mean, there were time and times again, and I know that something that you pointed out all week, something you pointed out in Brown's countdown as a key to the game, something that you pointed out in your time in the the NFL game whip, as you know, whatever we did from a Browns content standpoint, you pointed out that the tight ends and stopping tight ends were the Achilles heel of our defense. And you can just run out and say it right now. Well, I know the three touchdowns on Martellus Bennett, but the New England tight ends went for what?
176 yards, three touchdowns, 11 catches. Each of them had a reception of.
And how many targets did they receive?
15 targets, 11 catches.
And to be very honest, my whole point in saying that is Tom Brady was so accurate and put the football, literally threw the football into the hands of the wide of the tight ends, Martellus Bennett once, I think Gronk twice, to the point where, I mean, there was nothing you can do as a defender. Christian Kirksey was right there. DeMario Davis was right there, you know, on the second, I think the third touchdown of Martellus Bennett.
The second there, one, yep.
Yeah, it was just, It's a different animal, and to be very honest, and that's something that as I talk about playing Peyton Manning and playing Tom Brady, you can't approach it like any other week, and I think that's what was very difficult for the Cleveland Browns as you study film on the Patriots, not having Tom Brady out there, they're an entirely different football team.
Oh yeah,
you know, props. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good player, but he's not even close to Tom Brady. Jacoby Brissett. No, was you got two of the four games that you watched in their breakdown in preparation for yesterday's football game was watching Jacoby Brissett and LeGarrette Blount essentially be their offense. And it's just so different, and he was so good. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to say that it was embarrassing at your home stadium, but like the energy around, in and around the New England Patriots yesterday, you know, being on Dog Pound Drive and seeing the number of Patriots uniforms, and then you and I, all of us getting ready for Browns Countdown and doing the show and the gates to First Energy Stadium opened,
like
people like flooded like a mob to the tunnel that the Patriots, you know, came down or come out to go into the football field.
There was a point where a loud eruption, like the crowd cheered and was going crazy, and I thought it had to be Tom Brady coming out.
It was Josh McDaniels.
It was Robert Kraft.
Okay, yeah,
the owner
correct,
of
yes.
The Patriots got like a huge pop. McDaniels did when we were on the Browns Countdown set. Brady comes
and
out.
And he's an Ohio
Brady
guy.
Chance. You know, it was rough, okay? Let's just be honest. Look, the Patriots are an elite team. They're an elite franchise. They have arguably the greatest coach of all time, the greatest quarterback of all time. They're arguably the greatest franchise of all time. I don't think you'll ever see a run like theirs again.
I agree with that.
And just it's so hard in this day and age to do it, and they're the model franchise. That's what you want to be. And yesterday was just a very clear reminder of not only how far the Browns are from being, you know, a good franchise in terms of where they stack up amongst the 32 teams, but from the elite, from the absolute best. And now, were there some bright spots? I thought Christian Kirksey played his heart out, 12 tackles on the day, led the team, or 16 tackles.
16 tackles, 12 solo, I believe.
12 solo. Played his heart out, and in coverage he was there a lot of times. The balls were just too good from Tom Brady. I thought Jamar Taylor played well defensively, but you know, when they come down, they go touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I loved the pride they showed on the goal line stand. That was great to see. And in the second half, I know people, oh, they took their foot off the gas. If you actually go back and watch it after the touchdown where they went up 30 to 7, I'm sorry. They came out and threw the ball four straight times on the next possession. They even took chunk plays down the seams to Rob Gronkowski with it. So they didn't really take the foot off the gas. The defense played a little bit better. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady did what he wanted. Gronk and Bennett did what they wanted. Chris Hogan, we talked about him. Remember I said, if Chris Hogan
no beat
you, I said, then you know you have problems. Well, guess what? Four catches for 114 yards for Chris Hogan. They had four pass plays of more than 36 yards in the game. The Browns did not have a single one. And this team can't give up chunk plays. They can't, and they were just, they were beaten. They were outclassed in every aspect and facet. And that's okay. The Patriots are probably supposed to do that, and they did. But again, the one bright spot, what would it be? Well, Cody Kessler comes out, has a very nice drive moving the ball down the field, converts the third down, throws a touchdown, makes the right read. They had cheated Devin McCourty over on the strong side towards Terrell Pryor. He knew there was no safety on the backside. They did a little double move action, and you got that corner route from Andrew Hawkins, which was the same action, by the way, the exact same action that the Patriots tried to run on that corner pass to Julian Edelman that Joe Hayden covered very well. But Hawk had a great release, got to the corner. Kessler saw him, touchdown. So it's, at that point, it was 7-7.
Correct.
That's as good as it got.
Yes.
That's as good as it got.
And you know what, for me, sitting in the stands watching the game yesterday, it was and it wasn't so much the score wasn't so similar, but when the Patriots as an organization with Bill Belichick get control the way they had control, it was reminiscent of the AFC Championship game. I think we lost that game 20-12, but it was the Patriots got out early, we fought back, and it was a game. They made one play, and then what they did, and that's where, you know, so many people might say they take their foot off the gas. Yeah, they don't, but they don't need to attack. They don't need to continue to score. It's not the college football game to get more votes, you know, to be more first place votes. It was, let's get out of here healthy. Let's keep Tom protected. Let's give him, you know, he's got what he needed so far. And I just remember sitting in the stands yesterday, taking a snapshot of them in 22 personnel. Martellus Bennett on one side, Gronk on the other, their big fullback, whatever his name is, 46, and LeGarrette Blount, and one wide receiver out there, and it's going to run. You're going to run inside zone one way. You're going to run outside zone the other way. You're going to run inside zone one way. You're going to run out. And it was just, it's just 3 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, first down. 3 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, first down, and they just chew up the clock because at that point, Bill Belichick knows, my defense is playing at a level where I can't lose the football game. So let's get out of here. I don't care about stats. All I care about is a win and being healthy, and we're on to whoever they play next week. And let's get out of here and shorten this football game. I have nothing else I need to prove. I have nothing else I need to see.
No.
And it's just, and it's a methodical way of winning a football game when you know, and it's very defeating for a football team. I've been on the other side where you know the run's coming. You know you need to make a stop. You're getting in them third and one. You get in the fourth and one, third and two, whatever it might be. And you almost know what's coming. And yet you, they're just so good. Tom keeps you on your toes. They might throw one little quick pass. It's a wrinkle just to get you on your heels. And they just continue to move the chains and chew up that clock and really take away your opportunity for any last-ditch effort to get back into the football game.
Yeah, and let's just look at their last drive when they're up. So they're up 30. This is in the fourth quarter, 14 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. This was Tom Brady's last drive in the game because then he came out after this drive. But it wasn't, and it, there was some of the demoralizing running, but they were doing what they want to do. Started off, Brady passed to Bennett for 3 yards. Brady passed to Amendola. Brady passed to Bennett for 13. So they came out still, pass. Then you got run, then the bomb to LeGarrette Blount, then a run with holding, then a run. Then a run, then pass, and then they end up kicking the field goal. But, I mean, these guys, look, that's who we all hope the Browns will someday be. Are the Browns there now? No. Are they close? No, not at all. Not even close at all to that. And we know that. And it was tough to see. It was tough because they were just so much better. But and the other part that was tough is if there has been one guy that has stood out above all others, that really is Cody Kessler has been so much better than anybody thought he would have been at the end of the preseason. And to come down against the New England defense, throw that touchdown, tie it 7-7. I'm not saying that if Cody Kessler stayed healthy that the Browns were going to stay in this game. If they're walking down the field the way Tom Brady and the Patriots were, nothing about it is going to do. In my opinion, however, it was encouraging to see, and unfortunately he gets knocked out. So then you're down to Charlie Whitehurst, and then Whitehurst gets hurt. And it's almost comic at this point. And I thought this was the first game, too, by the way, where the new interior of the offensive line for, you know, each week it's changing.
It caught up to us.
Because not only on the play where Cody Kessler got hurt did Dante Hightower come up the middle with a blitz and get there and hurt him, but on the very first third down of the game, he did the same thing, was untouched. Kessler was in shotgun, so was able to see it and roll out to the right.
Right.
But it busted up a play where you had Ricardo Lewis, who actually had some nice releases in this game. He doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but if you just watched him earlier in the game, especially when he was in there with Cody Kessler, had some nice releases from the line of scrimmage.
And how about that shot with Terrell Pryor at quarterback? Ricardo Lewis was a step and a half behind the defender. Had the ball been thrown out there and in front of him instead of short and behind him, I don't even recall what point in the game and how much we were down by.
It was at the very end.
Okay, in the fourth quarter, but it's still, you're playing with your fifth quarterback or fourth quarterback, however you want to talk about it. Okay, but and your young player gets behind them. And you can take advantage, and we don't.
Yeah, that was,
and I'll be very honest. What was defeating and deflating for me, and this is it wasn't so much that the Brady chants and the mass amount of Patriot fans in the stadium almost to the point of taking over. What was a little defeating for me and deflating for me was hearing Bill Belichick's post-game press conference when he talked about, you know, the Browns gave the great effort, and he started listing, like, we let Barnage get up the seam, and he started just listing off, like, just small little plays that the Patriots kind of gave up that are just parts of an NFL football game, when it wasn't, like, these defeating blows, like they returned a kick for a touchdown, or they threw or connected on the Ricardo Lewis bomb, and it was just kind of like, come on, Bill. It's like, I know you've got to show your respect, and you're on to whoever's next, but it's like, don't just list off a bunch of like 12-yard plays that your defense gave up. You know, it was just defeating and embarrassing for me for him to list off just average plays in a football game that he like was trying to talk up the Cleveland Browns. There was a clear disparity amongst these two football teams yesterday.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you play, let's say you play in hoops with your buddy and you beat him, you know, 4 out of 5 games, and you're like, yeah, but you won that one game.
Right.
It was really great.
Exactly. It's big brother, little brother.
Yeah. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. Brady was brilliant. It was neat to get to be, for me, to be on the sideline to see it. Obviously, I want that to be.
It might be the last time that you get to see it.
In Cleveland,
even
sure.
Though he said he's 39, feels like 29. So if he plays another decade, it could happen.
It could happen. But, you know, it's one of those things for the Browns. Obviously, they have a long way to go. I worry about, you know, there seemed to be magic in Hugh Jackson. And the players respond to him. And at what point, without wins, do you question the magic? And you can see that they're playing better. And this was the first game that wasn't competitive since the season opener, which even was competitive into the second half. And this is arguably the best football team in the NFL and the best organization. But I think it stunk getting Cody Kessler knocked out because he's shown some strides.
Correct.
Hopefully Rappaport's report is correct that he will be able to be back. But because you look at him on the game, Kessler was 5 of 8 for 62 yards with a touchdown and 126 quarterback rating. Against the New England Patriots,
did not look flustered at all. Looked in control, and even some of his incompletions were quarterback incompletions. They weren't almost interceptions and throwing the football behind a player to the other team or anything like that.
At least two of them were throwaways.
Right.
So he played well, and you know, you go into we get into the Pro Football Focus grades. The Browns did not have any player on offense who graded green. On defense, 3: Jamar Taylor, Chris Kirksey, and Danny Shelton. Again, that's 5 for 5 for Danny Shelton this year. He and Paya were disruptive up front, and those were really the only guys. Agba, I will say, after watching the game live, I was like, where is Emmanuel Agba? Watching it on tape, he did have a couple of pressures where he was this close to getting to Tom Brady, but Brady is so good at getting the ball out just at that
last
second.
He absolutely is. And the one thing that I will question when it comes to Emmanuel Agba, and it was late in the football game, and this goes back to your point about Hugh Jackson motivating these guys, and also the amount of reps that Emmanuel Agba has played through 5 weeks, which is a lot. There were, and I'm not saying he took plays off, but there were times where Emmanuel Ogbah was not giving the effort in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter that he gives in the first and second quarter.
Could be tired, could be fatigue, but you got to find, if that's the case, take yourself out. But
correct.
Yeah, you want to see that going. The other thing that stood out to me watching this one on tape, which was, I thought, frustrating, is guys peeking in the backfield. Both of those big plays, one on the deep kind of crossing route to Chris Hogan, Ibrahim Campbell bought on the play fake and was peeking in the backfield and lost containment of his route. And then on the touchdown, the Martellus Bennett, same thing. They ran that stretch action to the right. They'd run it two plays in a row. They've been having success with it. They run that stretch action to the right. He keeps it. Ibrahim Campbell dives up to come make and Martellus Bennett just walks by him. Nobody covered Gronk on that play, and there was a wheel route on the backside that was wide open. He had three guys that he could have hit for a massive chunk play there. He chose to go with there. And then on Joe Hayden's bomb that he gave up to Hogan, it was cover three. He had that
deeper than the deepest is your rule when you are either a deep free safety in the middle of the field or you are a deep corner.
And he just kind of stayed flat-footed watching Brady as opposed to running with the receiver who's running right by him at the time. Now, Joe Hayden did come back and make some very good plays in that game, but you can't give up chunk plays to Chris Hogan.
You can't. And here's two things, and I'll even say I deal with it, obviously, at the high school level. There's a few things that we have to do that I see in football that I learned. And there are hard lessons to learn until you get burnt in situations like this. A, you've got to align for success. You'd be surprised how if you align properly, how you naturally fall into where you're supposed to be defensively, and you can make a lot of plays because that's the way the defenses are schemed up. Secondly, keep your eyes on your work. Keep your eyes on your work. And that's a lesson that I teach high school kids is because everybody wants to peek in the backfield because they think the quarterback has the football in his hands. And you'd be surprised the margin that is created by a wide receiver when your eyes are back. Can you run faster full speed or can you run faster looking over your shoulder? You know, and that's the biggest difference is keep your eyes on work. So your eye control was something that I had to learn as a young football player in the National Football League. And we're a very young football team, and I know some veterans, you know, maybe have that issue that they need to get controlled. But keep your eyes on your work, and you'd be surprised how many plays that you make.
You've got to put yourself in position of success. It's kind of like even in golf, when you're aligned properly, you take the proper stance, it makes everything easier. When you're all out of whack, it is harder. And I think for this Browns team, at some points, you know, they were a little undisciplined in terms of poking in. Too many missed tackles also in this game.
Yeah, in the middle of our defense, anybody can throw in the middle of our defense right now.
Well, right now, tight ends are just absolutely having their way with this football team, and that is something that the Browns are going to have to address. And I don't know how you do it, but they've got to address it. Kirksey did a great job, I thought, in coverage in the sense that he was there but wasn't able to make a lot of the plays. Made some of them. Jamar Taylor, I think, did a good job, but overall did not do enough against those tight ends. And that was my number one key for the game. You have tight ends go for 176 yards and three touchdowns in this one. By the way, we had to run the football. They held the Browns to just 27 yards on 22 carries. Crow had 22. He was the leading rusher in terms of yards per carry as well at 1.7. Duke Johnson, 4 carries for 1 yard on the day. The Browns' long run of the day was just 6 yards. But back to my point when I'm talking about peeking in on these play actions. Is LeGarrette Blount going to hit 60 yards on you in a second? No, it's not going to happen. So let's worry about the guys that can do that going forward. But again, masterful performance by the Patriots. Browns, not good enough. They're not where they need to be. We know that. And it just showed how close, not how close they are to being where an elite franchise in the NFL is. A long way to go. A lot of work to be done here. And Brian, you know Hugh Jackson is going to have these guys ready to go again this Sunday against the Tennessee Titans team coming off of an impressive victory against the Dolphins in Miami, where the Browns were just 2 weeks ago. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Zagura and Wilhelm on CBD.
DJ Khaled.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
By the way, tomorrow we will have a live CBD remote from Discount Drug Mart in Sharon Township, 38 South Medina Line Road. Xavier Cooper will be there.
Thanks
Joe
for the memo.
Schobert will be there as well. It's in the notes. There you go, my friend. So tomorrow, come out and see us. Live CBD remote, DDM in Sharon Township, again at 38 South Medina Line Road. Xavier Cooper and Joe Schobert will be there. Bill Bender will be with us at the bottom of this hour, but let's take some calls quickly when you get a shot. Start with Jonathan in Cleveland. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going? We're getting better. So first, I'd like to give it up to Connor Hamlet, 6'7" tight end. Really excited to see him get that touchdown. I thought he was going to make the 53 before, but the reason I called was I've been looking at practice squads, and I got four names of QBs we could be picking up.
Go ahead.
So we got Garrett Grayson. He's on the Saints practice squad. We got Joel Stavi, who was he went to Wisconsin. He's 6'5". He's on the Vikings practice squad. We got Stephen Morris, who went to Miami. He's on the Colts practice squad. We got Jake Ruddick, who is on the Lions practice squad. I think he's about 6'3", out of Michigan. And Zach Dysart. But Zach Dysart, he got called up by the Cardinals when Carson Palmer got his head knocked in a little bit. But those are just a few names of guys I think that could get an opportunity. Zach Dysart's actually from Ohio, so
yes,
some big guys, like 6'2", 6'5". I think we need a big guy in there, someone who could take a hit.
And perhaps that they will look into that. I mean, right now, and none of those guys are the answer. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Garrett Grayson was drafted in the third round by the Saints a couple of years ago, and they have liked him so little he's on their practice squad now. He was supposed to be the heir apparent to Drew Brees,
right?
And it just hasn't worked out.
Let me throw something out to you in your professional nature. Okay, he talked about some of the practice squad guys. Okay, here's what I guess I need to understand. I think the Dog Pound does as well. Do we know any of the time frames on Josh McCown? I mean, Cody Kessler, Pro Football Talk reports, is expected to start against the Titans. You know, coming out of that chest and rib injury, which we'll hear from, you know, Hugh Jackson, you know, later today. He'll probably say it's day-to-day. Day-to-day means today, not good, tomorrow, good for Cody Kessler. And he has a day to rest, and he can take those reps. Obviously, Charlie Whitehurst can't lead this football team and start this football team because I think it really handcuffs Hugh Jackson from a play-calling standpoint, and that only, handcuffs the player's ability to make plays as well. So then, where do we go from here? Like, who do you feel or what is a viable option at quarterback that's out there from a – not only – we just laid out practice squad, but what about who could we trade for? Or is Josh McCown going to be back in 2 to 4 weeks from now?
I think McCown will be back at some point. I think RG3 will be back at some point. I think Kessler will be back at some point. I don't see them giving up an
asset new body
this year, because why would you give up an asset
for
this year? You may as well just go out there with – you're going to be able to go with Kessler or, you know, Hogan if you had to. I just don't see them making a move at quarterback just because – what's the point at this point? You know?
Sure.
We know where we are very, very clearly here on this season. So I don't see that happening.
But I guess based on the effort that we've been getting and the optimism that we've had coming out of Baltimore, Miami, and Washington, we could very likely have a couple wins.
You could.
You know?
You could.
And that was led by Cody Kessler. And, you know, when all of us, you know, thought the way we did about Kessler after what we saw in training camp, that – If this team continues to fight, I just hope that the quarterback position, which is the pinnacle position of almost every single NFL football franchise, hinders our ability to win football games if we're in those games.
It does. I do think that they're going to get, you know, I think they're hopeful Josh McCown will be able to return at some point this season. And then if this Kessler thing isn't serious, I just don't see them making a move somewhere else.
Sure.
I get it.
Just want to
position.
Throw it out there because that's probably the perspective because – I mean,
right. It's like, what else are they going to do?
Correct. I mean, and, you know, I don't know how bad Whitehurst's back injury was, but are we going to carry Kessler, Whitehurst, Pryor into every football game for the next 3 weeks until Josh McCown potentially is back?
Yeah, and that's a huge, huge question, and that is something that will have to be addressed going forward, and you and I both know that in a major way. Let's go to Cam in Canada. Cam, how you doing today, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I mean, it's the end of the day, it's the first time I went to the gym about the middle of the second quarter for about an hour and came back. It's the first time I've done that in 40 years. I used to follow this team through microfiche. I used to have newspapers
microfiche
down in Cleveland send me copies. I had my mom and dad buy a satellite dish when I was a kid to be able to watch the team. But you know what? I'm not giving up. I mean, but it would be very, very unique for a person not to be disappointed. But, I mean, it's the New England Patriots, right? So, but I think there's some practical things that are happening. I don't know if you guys mind if I just kind of tell you what I'm seeing.
Go ahead, man.
You know, when you have the first game of the year or first play of the game, pardon me, and, you know, you have a guy that the front office has deemed as a thumper in Davis, and he bounces off, Edelman several times during the game. you know, our middle is just so weak. I mean, it's just, it's so weak. And I guess my question would be, you know, what's the advantage of playing a guy like Davis? So I'm not trying to call him out, but, you know, what's the advantage of playing him? A guy like Hayden, you have a three-pronged problem. The message to the team, you can declare yourself in need of surgery, independent, go to your own doctors, go get treatment, go get surgery, not show up for OTAs or anything else, come to camp, get back on the field, not be very good. So what's the message to the team? What's the message on the field that we're going to allow a guy that's a veteran guy that's making mad bank, that he can get beat by 6-7 yards by a non-entity? What's the message to the scheme? And the more important thing is, what's the message to the culture that a guy can play when he wants, practice when he wants, put his hand up and pull himself out of games when he wants, and still be allowed to go on? And we're idolizing this guy. We're putting him on a pedestal like he's a key player, and he's not just not playing well. We can live with that. We live with it with a guy like Tremont Williams. What's the message to the culture? And then the final thing is, why are we carrying anyone, a water boy, a person that puts fax paper in? Why are we carrying anyone, let alone players, that are not going to be here when this team peaks? Why would we give one single rep to a player that is not going to be here in 2018? Why would we do that? I'll leave it with you guys, and, you know, all the best to you.
Thank you very much, Cam.
I think he makes a point, and I believe you and I kind of laid out in regards to Joe Hayden where he was at from a career standpoint, that he was at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a lot of money. I think he's the fifth highest paid cornerback in the league, if I'm not mistaken, at somewhere over $11 million. And we thought with Ray Horton, you know, being his defense coordinator again and being voted a captain and being a leader, that he had an opportunity to rise back to that elite status that he played at in 13 and 14, 12, 13, 14, really. But if not, I mean, I think time is ticking for Joe Hayden. And I'm not trying to say we need to, you know, I'm not saying we release him, but I think that our investment in Joe is no longer benefiting our ability to win football games, because I don't think nobody's scaring Joe Hayden. I remember doing the show in 2014 with you, you know, when I first started on CBD, and it was like, you throw away from Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden takes a half of the field away from you, you know, or a quarter of the field away from you. And whoever he's guarding, whether he's traveling, guarding a number one, or he's just on the left or right hand side.
Right.
I remember having that conversation. That is no longer an issue. When Kevin, what's his name? Hogan?
Hogan.
What's his first name?
Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan, Amari Cooper, it doesn't matter anymore who it is. They're going to make their yards.
You played with a guy, and this was something that somebody said to me, and I'm not saying that I think that that's what it should be. I'm saying that this is what was said to me with Joe Hayden, because he's still obviously a very good tackler. He's very physical. He sees the field well. He's made some mistakes out there this year. We've seen that. He's made some good plays, too. He made some good plays in this game. Charles Woodson went from being a premier corner and then moved to free safety. Why does that happen sometimes, and is that something you could see Joe Hayden transitioning to?
I could. I wouldn't say not this year, not next year, but maybe soon after that. And I don't know. Maybe not necessarily whether it's here in Cleveland or not. I'm not trying to say in any way, shape, or form that I think Joe Hayden should not be a Cleveland Brown. Joe Hayden is the epitome of a Cleveland Brown.
No, he should. Yeah.
And he should be here. Why does that happen? A, in some cases, I think guys lose a step.
Okay.
B, the range that Joe Hayden plays with as a corner, imagine that, you know, being in the middle of the field as a ball hawk. Or in some cases, having Joe at a safety position, would you have liked to have Joe inside on Gronk as a big physical corner? Or on Martellus Bennett, you know, from the safety position? And I think sometimes as you lose that step, you naturally have that margin, that 8-yard margin, when guys line up at, you know, 8 yards, 10 yards, 12 yards, and you have the ability to see the field and still have the speed to make up for it from 8 yards.
Right.
But right now, Joe in his prime he's able to play from on the football. When Charles Woodson can no longer play from on the football and was constantly in chase mode, you gave him the margin by moving him to safety.
And you moved him back.
Moved him back. And that's the cool thing about it is it wasn't always just safety. Charles would still come down and jam, you know, inside and play man-to-man from a yard off of a tight end. Or he'd, you know, drop down the nickel depending on who it was. It's all matchup and game plan oriented. And I think that is something that we can do as if we feel that is an option, and we draft, I would imagine, appropriately and develop appropriately the cornerbacks that we currently have on the roster, Biambodi Calhoun and Jamar Taylor and those young players as well. Maybe Trey Caldwell, who's on the practice squad, you know, gets his things rolling maybe this year or next year. That is a viable option.
Sure.
To keep him as a Brown and play a role as a safety, because right now our safeties are struggling against tight ends.
They are struggling in a big way. And I will say one thing for Biambodi Calhoun. The fact that his name was not called very often, he had one nice pass breakup over the middle against Bennett. He was not exploited. He was not exposed.
He was not.
And that, I think, is encouraging for this team. Obviously, the game itself, not encouraging when you drop one like that to the Patriots at home. But we'll be talking with Bill Bender when we return here on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Again, Bill Bender is going to be our guest, and he will give us his take on where the Browns are at right now and what he thinks this team needs to do to get things turned around. That's coming up when we return here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Joining us now, Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Bill. Let's just start with yesterday's game. Your takeaways from the Browns' perspective. Obviously, Tom Brady came back and was as good as ever en route to a 33-13 win.
Well, you know, they obviously answered with the drive with Kessler, and I thought that was a good thing. But once he was injured, it kind of spiraled from there. And it was interesting. I know coming in that a lot of people thought this was going to get really ugly because Brady was back and revenge and all those things. And despite the score, I thought the Browns fought hard. I mean, that's what they do. But, I mean, obviously, when you start a game and Brady leaves three touchdown drives, you're in trouble.
And Bill, would you imagine, as you kind of alluded to, so many people said, you know, he's going to see 11 Goodells out there and he's going to come back a certain way. But there's also on the flip side of the coin, there was those people that thought, hey, this guy hasn't played football in 4 weeks. He's had his trip to Italy 2 weeks ago, and maybe he's going to come back a little rusty. What was your expectation or anticipation going into that football game?
I thought it was going to be sweep the leg, you know what I mean? Like, I thought he was going to come out and just throw for 500 yards and blow out the Browns. And it looked like that early, but as the game settled in, you know, the Browns' defense settled in a little bit. Obviously, the biggest takeaway for me with New England was Bennett and Gronkowski is going to be very tough to stop. I mean, that reminds me of when they had Gronk and Hernandez at the same time, and that was very difficult to stop when they had that.
Yeah, those guys look dominant. The Browns struggling to cover the tight ends, and that's been an Achilles heel. It was one of our key things to watch in this game, and unfortunately the team was not able to really get the job done in that respect, and that's something that they're certainly going to have to work on going forward. Bill, if you're the Browns, Cody Kessler, what have you seen from him? And it was unfortunate he got knocked out there, led the touchdown drive, but has he exceeded your expectations thus far? And if the early reports are true, and if you've heard anything, please add it on his health that he can go. But basically, just overall, your assessment of Cody Kessler.
I just read Ian Rappaport's tweet that he's expected to play Sunday, which is good because, I mean, then you go to Charlie Whitehurst. And as I wrote yesterday, if you guys saw that, you know, it just feels like we're circling the same quarterback conversation that we always do. And a couple Browns fans got on me this morning because I just said maybe the plan should be draft a high-round quarterback and stick with that quarterback for a while. I don't think I wrote anything overly controversial there. But I think so far it's been encouraging with Cody Kessler. Like I said, the first drive was good. The play where he fumbled out of the end zone was obviously bad. And, you know, it's just been protecting the quarterback is one of those things that they need to do better.
They do, and the quarterback injuries. Who would you say is to blame for these injuries? Is this a freak thing? Is this something with the offensive line, with the scheme? What is causing these injuries to the quarterbacks seemingly over and over and over?
Well, I mean, if you look at all three of them, I mean, Griffin, I still insist that could have been avoided. Like, he ran into the guy. That was kind of freaky. McCown was just getting drilled. And at one point, you know, I respect Josh McCown's toughness as much as anybody in the NFL, but obviously he got hit in the wrong spot. And then Kessler got hit pretty hard yesterday. So some of them are – I mean, quarterbacks are going to get hit, but it just seems like the Browns are – once again stuck in this unlucky string where these quarterbacks are getting hit in the wrong spot at the wrong time and within the flow of the game.
That's right. You're absolutely right, Bill. And just diving into this offensive line for the Cleveland Browns, there's been a shuffling around between, you know, multiple different centers, you know, Greco going from guard to center back and forth. They've been to solidify the run game, but was that kind of, you know, rotation and just trying to get by each and every week just a little too much yesterday as their inability to run the football and in some cases the confusion that led to Hightower running through and getting that hit on Cody Kessler?
Yeah, it might have been that. I think it was more, you know, just a freak thing. And that's the thing. The Browns, the last couple games before that, Kroll's been rolling. I mean, I have him on my fantasy team, so I know. And, you know, he's having big games. So it's one of those things where, yeah, I think a lot of shuffling and again, freak hits. I mean, Kessler got hit really hard. I mean, even Whitehurst on the one play where he, you know, avoids one. I think he avoided Chris Long, and then he gets smacked by Malcolm Brown. I thought, boy, he's going to get hurt on that too. But that wasn't necessarily the offensive line fault. That was more he was outside the pocket trying to make a play.
What are the reasons, if you're a Browns fan right now, and I think people are pretty down, what are the reasons that you see to be optimistic, and what do you see also as the biggest fixes that must happen?
I mean, I start at quarterback, and like I said, I've got a couple Browns fans hounding me on Twitter saying, stick with college football and stick with draft coverage. Well, I mean, I watch more than one sport like you guys. I mean, if I have an opinion on the Cavs or the Indians, I'm going to share that too. So,
sure.
I mean, that's, we're sports fans, right? So
yes.
I would say quarterback, though. I still think it comes down to that. And in the NFL, if you have a sure thing, there's very few sure things at quarterback. I mean, to me, it's a short list of like Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, et cetera. But, you know, it starts there, and it's probably going to be the conversation they have again, given what happened with Robert Griffin III early in the season and McCown behind him.
And Bill, just the Cleveland Browns have been so close. I know yesterday was just, you know, running into a buzzsaw with Brady's return and the Patriots just being the franchise that they are. But, you know, getting out to 20-0 on the Ravens, you know, you can win the football game at Miami. You could say a couple turnovers in the third quarter against Washington, and that's going to be a game. So there's optimism around this football team. And have these injuries just become too much? You know, missing Corey Coleman as a playmaker, and obviously McCown and Robert Griffin III going down, and getting to Kessler, getting quality play. Are those just some of the things that just keep the Cleveland Browns, you know, from being able to like overcome that the margin that they have to become a solid franchise?
Well, I remember being on with you guys in the preseason and kind of looking at the ceiling being 8-8, and then you wonder. Obviously, injuries play a role in that. If the guy that you brought in to be your starting quarterback is hurt in week one, that's going to hurt. Coleman, as you mentioned, hurt. But I wouldn't even get near the 0-16 talk. They're probably going to claw out some wins. That's what NFL teams do. They'll catch some teams late in the season that are maybe not, you know, into the season. That happens every year. So I think they continue to build on that. I think the best stories to emerge from the Browns so far with me are, you know, Kroll running the football. He's been great. And, of course, you know, Terrell Pryor – it's amazing, and I do cover college football, to see the circle that he's gone through from this top recruit to star quarterback to kind of a pariah, and now he's a legit, very good wide receiver, I think.
What kind of market do you see for Terrell Pryor, and is that somebody that the Browns should lock up before the end of this season?
I would, because it gives him a big target that I think he's not even close to his ceiling, and he's obviously physically imposing presence. He's so fast, and I've been so impressed with the development, you know, his ability to get separation. I know one game that really stood out was he did fine against Josh Norman. I mean, there you go. So I would lock him up, and you get Corey Coleman back, then you got two pretty good receivers to work with because Coleman played well before the injury, and then, you know, you have something if you find a quarterback and, you know, solidify that offensive line a little bit.
Some of the Browns are going to have to do. What have you thought of Isaiah Crowell's start to the season, and what were the Patriots able to do to stop that run so definitively?
Well, you know, they got off to a hot start, too, and that always takes away. You know, you can bail on the run game pretty quickly if they do. But, yeah, he's running hard. And, you know, given the controversy he had before the season, it's good to see. And I thought that was pretty cool that he donated the game check to the police. That was pretty cool. So I think he's another good story. He's running hard, obviously. And, you know, I thought I maybe expected a little more of Duke Johnson, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's more that Kroll's, you know, taking the carries, doing a good job, and you know, Duke Johnson's trying to work in where he can.
And Bill, last question for me. How does Hugh Jackson keep this team motivated? Is I know, as I mentioned, they've been in the three games prior to yesterday's football game, but is yesterday's game something that you learn from very quickly and you put behind you, and you have a very winnable football game on the road against the Titans ahead of you?
Yeah, I think that has to be just get a win. Start from there. If they beat the Titans this week, then they can build on that. I mean, nobody expected them to beat the Patriots yesterday. I don't think anybody in the stadium did. And if there was a troubling thing, it was that there was a lot of Patriots fans there. That's another thing I noticed. So, you know, they just got to win a football game and then go from there and then look into next season. And because they are going to have a high pick in the draft, and they really need to figure out what the best plan is at. And as of now, I would still say it's quarterback.
Who are the do you starting to get any kind of a consensus on the top guys coming out next year? I know that, you know, DeShone Kizer just played in a very crazy environment in that game on Sunday. But is there starting to be any kind of consensus on these quarterbacks in college?
Well, you know, a lot of the talks about Kizer and Deshaun Watson as the two top quarterbacks, two different styles. Kizer's obviously got the measurable, throws a great deep ball, but he's just stuck on a really bad team this year, and that's something to consider. I mean, he's got everything else. Andy, you know, he's an Ohio kid, and that matters in Ohio. I know that as much as you guys do. And then Watson's a winner. I don't know how it translates. It's always tricky when you look at a spread offense, but he's a winner. He's done a lot of good things at Clemson. He's obviously put up the numbers, 4,000, 1,000-yard quarterback. So that would be where the choice maybe begins, unless – you know, you're tempted by a Myles Garrett or a Jonathan Allen, one of those game breakers, or even, I'm going to tell you, who keeps moving up draft boards. I don't know if they could stomach it, but Jabril Peppers can do just about anything on a football field.
He can, from the blue, Jabril Peppers. Bill, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully we'll get to chat with you after a Browns victory one of these Mondays coming up, which would be very nice for this team and this organization.
I appreciate it so much, guys. Take care and thank you.
All right, Bill Bender, our guest from the Sporting News there. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Jim Donovan at 2 o'clock here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Back to the phone lines we go, 216-578-0850. Chevy in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's up, Chevy? How you doing, man?
Awesome. You know, I thought the game was going to be a shootout. I thought our defense was going to settle in, but we'd have to score a lot. And I didn't like that play call on Kessler. I mean, first play, you run up the gut. They had the line stacked. He should have audibled out of that. Second play, you pull in your lineman, and the linebacker comes clear to nail him. I mean, that was lame. But I think that with him not hurt, we could have hung with them. I really believe that. Our defense stopped them on several occasions. And, yeah, of course, we need some players on defense. But I'm really impressed with Kessler. I'd like to see what he's got the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think he has done much better than anybody thought he was going to do, and I think that we all would like to, you know, see that continue and see where he can be. Again, do I think that he is the long-term answer? I think that's tough to say in any definitive kind of a way, but I think at a minimum, you're seeing a guy that can come in and be a long-term backup for your franchise, which is a valuable commodity in the National Football League.
He could be a starter if he could take a hit, if he was a little bit stronger maybe, too, as well.
And he's got some arm strength stuff. But
he's 21 years old and, you know, fresh out of college, and you'd imagine best-case scenario for the Cleveland Browns is Cody Kessler, you know, ran the scout team, was active in the meetings, learning from Josh McCown and RG3 with the success that they have on Sundays at quarterback, the conversations that they would have, his ability to soak that all up, a year in the strength and conditioning program, becoming a professional quarterback, and maybe in 2017 you get him on the field in some way, shape, and form, or he becomes your Josh McCown. You know, you're set, you're backup, but he's ready to play football then.
Yeah, and that's right. And there's nothing wrong with that, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity to see more of Cody Kessler. By the way, one interesting thing that I wanted to bring up real quickly that came out of yesterday is that after the game, Bill Belichick brought the Patriots team out to the Jim Brown statue. And they all took a picture there. Jabal Sheard had posted it on his Twitter, Barkevius Mingo as well. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And when asked about Bill Belichick, said, I think he's the greatest player of all time. And I wanted to get him.
Yeah. I heard it in Bill's press conference call with the local media talking about Jim Brown and his trophy. And the one thing that even just doing the pregame show yesterday with Gerard Sherry, former Patriot, part of those three Super Bowls there in New England. And he just said that Bill is a football historian. You know, if you come to Bill to talk about social media or something going on, you know, locally in the news, not so much a fan. He'll say, get back to your job of watching tape on whoever you're playing. But if you come to him, or you're in the bad graces, he said, you know, with Bill Belichick, and you want to get back in those good graces, you come to him with some, you know, football history question or conversation, and he lights up like a kid on Christmas morning. And I think that's what that real moment was for him. Who knows when the next time Bill will be in Cleveland. So with his first opportunity to see that trophy was really special for him.
Yeah, it's very special, and he talked about that coming into the game as well and took the team out there. Let's go to Dino the Trucker now. Dino, welcome. He dropped. Okay, well, then that'll do it for us in our first hour. Jim Donovan will be with us to kick off hour number two of CBD. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be live at the Discount Drug Mart in Sharon Township, 38 South Medina Line Road. Xavier Cooper will be there from 1 to 2. Joe Schobert there from 2 to 3. Again, and we'll be there. That's at the Discount Drug Mart in Sharon Township, 38 South Medina Line Road. And we'll be back with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, kickoff hour number two of CBD.